Good morning. It's a blessing to be here with you all this morning. Trust that the Lord will be with us this morning as we endeavor to learn of Him and just know a little more of His will for us in our lives. In our walk with Him, you can turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. A few thoughts. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This passage in John 1, I've been looking at it a little more. I was reading through it, and some things stuck out to me. And I was just amazed at the thought of the Word of God in verse 1. The Word of God being completely one in unity with God. The Word is God. The Word and God are not separated. They're the exact same thing. So God will never tell us things that His Word doesn't say. He is God. It's all one. The Word was with God from the beginning. It was the Word of God that created the world. I thought that was just amazing. A spoken word. We go back to Genesis. A spoken word created the world, the Word of God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. His life was the light of men. And verse 5 is the point I want to draw from this little passage. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I looked up that word comprehended. I always looked at it as the darkness could not overcome it, or the darkness could not overtake the light. And it may mean that, but I looked it up in the Strong's, and it actually says it means to take eagerly, to seize, or possess. And it's the same word that's used in Philippians 3, where Paul says, I count not myself to have apprehended. Maybe I should just read that. Philippians 3. So the light comes into the world, and the darkness comprehended it not. Philippians 3. Paul says, brethren, I count not, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word apprehended is the same as comprehended in John 1 here. And I get the picture of if you've ever seen those round things at swimming pools, public places that you throw out in the water if somebody's drowning. If you look at the instructions on those, it says when that comes to you, grab it and hug it to your chest. And that's what I picture this word means. When you grab it and just hang on for all you're worth. It's a drowning person eagerly grab that thing and just hold it tight. That's what that word means. And I got the picture of, you know, God in heaven. He created the world. As we know, it's a perfect place. It's a beautiful place. Sin came. Man is separated from God at that point. Man is separated and plunged into darkness. There's darkness over the world. And for years, the world operated like that. Darkness. People groping around, trying to find their way, trying to find purpose, trying to find the amount of gods that they came up with in that time. And the extent they went to try to serve those gods is mind-blowing. It's astounding. They would sacrifice their children. they would do all kinds of things in an attempt to find that purpose, that light in their life that was missing. And yes, there were prophets, there were little bits of light that came, we know that. But then the word of God came, Jesus. In verse 14 says, a word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So I picture in this dark world, I picture a dark place and just this massive light just creates, illuminates everything. And all of a sudden now there's clarity, there's truth, there's reality of this is the way, this is the way to find purpose, this is the way to find life. And picture I got was it would seem like people would run to the light. They would run, they would grab it, they would rejoice. Now we can find the way to God. Now we can know what to do and how to live. But instead they run. They run from it. That it says the darkness didn't comprehend it. It didn't grab the light. Instead it ran. And I just got the thought, why in the world does humanity run from the light? Why do we finally know the way, we finally see the way, God makes it clear, and we run from it? Turn over to John 3. It answers the question there. I'll start in verse 16. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So here we see right there that God, his reason for shining the light was redemption. His reason for shining the light was salvation. His reason for coming was not condemnation. It was for salvation. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And here's our answer, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and instead of running to the light, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. And they like their evil deeds. That's the reality of it. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the reason we run from darkness, the reason humanity runs from the light into the darkness is because there are evil deeds that we enjoy, that we like. Darkness brings obscurity. Darkness brings a sense of safety. In darkness, there's evil deeds are validated. There's other people there doing the same thing. And the pride of humanity, dark, anything that is not of God is shameful. And I don't believe there's a person in the world that can do evil deeds and not have a sense of guilt and shame. I think we know what that's like. There's a sense of no matter how hard you get, no matter how much you do it, there's a sense of guilt and shame in that. And when the light shines on that, we're embarrassed. It's embarrassing. We don't want people to know who we are. We don't want people to see that in us. And our pride and selfishness makes us just run for more darkness. Now, I'm thankful I'm talking to a group of people that we have come to the light. And I don't want you to think I'm thinking that everybody here is in darkness, because I know that's not true. I'm just bringing the point for the rest of the message. We come to that place where we realize we have to make the choice. Do I want darkness and my evil deeds, or do I bear the shame of bringing that to the light? Then I can have freedom. And what a blessing to have freedom. What a blessing to have those things exposed and out of the way. And God can bring deliverance and forgiveness and peace to our hearts. I have found, as I've been a Christian for, a few years now, that the temptation to allow darkness to come back into my life is always there. Maybe not in the same way as just those dark, wicked lives that many lived. But the little things, the little offenses, the little hurts, the little, just the, how I keep my eyes when I'm in a public place, how I think about my brothers, those are the things that I was on my heart to share about this morning, just to an encouragement to live in the light. I think as the, I find that there's a pressure, and I think I put it on myself, or we do, the longer we're Christians, we tend to think that we should be above things. I should be, you know, I've been a Christian for 10 years now. I should not struggle with this anymore. So we cover it up and we try to, yeah, I'm doing good. How are you, brother? And yeah, we're, but the Lord would desire that as long as we're walking with him, we'll just be open. If I struggle with something that's dumb and stupid, well, that's what I struggle with. And we can help each other in that. So what happens when we come to the light? I'd like to go to 1 John. We're staying in John this morning. Go to 1 John chapter 1. We will start in verse 5. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So here we see that light brings fellowship. And that's what every human being longs for, I believe, in life. We long for fellowship. We long to be part of something bigger than ourselves. I think one of the biggest reasons people join the military is because they want to be part of something big, something real, something that makes them feel worth something. We want to be part of something. But if we want to be part of something, walk in the light. It brings that fellowship. It brings that fellowship with others. I thought of a little example. The difference between friendships or relationships in the light versus relationships in the darkness. Here we have two hearts, or you could say two people. And those that walk in darkness, you know, we're born, our hearts are they're born with sin, but there's no guilt, there's no children, they're innocent. But as they grow, things happen and we get hurt. People say things that we don't appreciate, and if those things aren't worked through, in order to protect our heart, we build walls. Maybe got mocked at school and for something I said. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to shut up. You know, I won't say anything. And maybe as we grow older, some sin comes into our lives and we're embarrassed of it and we don't want people to see it. So we build another wall and we continue to do this. And we continue to lock our heart deeper and deeper inside a safe place so that others can't come in there and see who I actually am. Now, this person, he might be a polished, successful businessman. He might be a outgoing, fun person to be with, but it's a mask. What you see is not him. It's a mask. And he continues to do things to cover up his true identity, the real self sense of who he is. And then you have more people like that. And what you have is not fellowship. Now, these two might be friends, but it's not a relationship built on trust. It's distrust and self-protection, and we continue to do things to try to make sure that others don't see who I really am. I thought of Stephen is part of the Concord Fire Department there, and I was up there with him doing some classes, and I've always heard that fire departments and police departments, and they say they're like a brotherhood. That's they really are proud of that. And I just thought when I was there, this is not a brotherhood. It is this right here. Everybody's trying to be better than the other and trying to prove that they know something and trying to, and there is no trust. I mean, yeah, they'll put their lives in each other's hands when there's a fire or something, but in the truest sense, they're right here. There's no fellowship there. And I just thought, these people have no idea what fellowship really is. I don't want to say that in a proud way. I wanted to be a blessing to them. But when the walls aren't there, there can be closeness. There can be fellowship. I'm sorry, I'm a horrible artist. But there can be closeness there, and that closeness is not possible in this sense. And I think if we're honest with our own hearts, every one of us has either been there or has had the temptation to do that. And these walls don't take long to build. This afternoon, one comment could offend, don't worry about making comments, but one comment could offend me and up goes a wall towards a brother. And then every time I see him, that's what I see. I'm staying away from him. And we do this, and it's so easy to get to that place. But the Spirit of God can help us to break those down. And the other thing I wanted to mention is I've found in my life, and I'm thankful for this, but Spirit-filled men and women are normally able to see right through those walls and see my heart and help dig that thing out again. And I'm very thankful for that. There's a couple of things I wanted to touch on in a practical way. I was thinking of fellowship. Now, thinking of marriage, fellowship and marriage, it's the closest relationship on earth. And this thing here is very possible, very real. I've dealt with it. Growing up, I struggled to communicate. I struggled to open my heart. And I found in marriage early on that I struggled with that. You slowly just kind of withdraw, and all of a sudden you realize that there's some things that I just need to talk about. I just need to get them out, and we need to talk about it, even though I might feel dumb that, why would such a little comment offend me? You know, sometimes it just seems really ridiculous. And yet, we have to deal with it. And these walls can come down, and then we can be together again. And I think there's a direct connection between the level of openness in marriage and the level of oneness and fulfillment we experience in that marriage. You cannot have a close marriage when there's secrets like this in our lives. And I was thinking of, even if we are right here, the enemy is always there trying to put a wedge. See if I can do this. And he has a... He always has a hammer there trying to get between those two people, get between that relationship. And it can be smallest things. You know, it doesn't even have to be secrets or sins. Sometimes it's just too busy. And I think we need to, with God's help, pray together about those things and find ways to keep him out. Keep that wedge out of there. Stay close in heart in our lives. Then we have families. And I only have my experience in our home growing up to draw from. But my encouragement with families, we went through some difficult things as a family. But one thing I was always thankful for is I always knew what it was that we were dealing with. There wasn't a bunch of hush-hush secrets and things aren't going well. And Dad would always just, here's what it is. Let's talk about it. Let's bring it out. Let's deal with it. And he also was... He wasn't distant. We figured out that he struggles with the same dumb little things that I thought only I would struggle with, you know. And so my thoughts on family is just that it could create, and it was shared yesterday at the wedding, but that a family circle should be a place that's safe. It should be a place where our hearts, we don't have to build walls. We don't have to perform and put on that mask and, you know, yep, doing good. Everything's... make a place where where that can be just a safe place for husband and wife and children to be who we really are, and then we can help each other. If we're hidden in here, we cannot be helped because all people see is this, and then that's maybe what they try to deal with, and it doesn't get the right thing. Last point I have real quick is fellowship in churches. I'm thinking without exception, there is darkness involved when there is contention in brotherhood, because strife, division, contention is not of God. So without doubt, without exception, somewhere there is darkness. And my point in saying that is not that we should look around and point at other people and try to figure out where the darkness is, but I think in our own hearts, we need to continually look into my heart with the thought of, is there something in here? Is there something in here that is contributing to whatever we're dealing with? Maybe it's just between me and one other person. Nobody else knows about it. Maybe it's bigger than that. But what is my part in it? How can I bring this thing to the light? I think just as in other relationships, it is absolutely essential to deal with that little hurt or offense, because in that offense, the walls start being built around our heart, and then the mask comes out. Now I can't be who I really am. I'm one person at church, another person at home, another person when I'm here, and we wear these things to protect us and try to hide our true identity. But with that, I think it is also our responsibility as brothers and sisters in a church, in our congregations, in our brotherhoods, to look for those things in others and be a blessing. We can point fingers. We can say, it's not my fault. We can say, why'd you do that? Or why? But be a blessing. You know, these walls, jackhammers and wrecking bars do not bring these walls down. It just doesn't work. The harder you knock on these walls, the stronger they'll be built. But we should pray that we could be that person that could encourage people to maybe just open a little door. Open a little door and let someone inside there and where they can see and be helped in that way. It takes dealing with walls calls for tenderness, persistence, and much prayer. And I thought of, be that person that is safe to let inside these walls. If someone's struggling, I don't even know how to do that. But be that person that's safe to let inside there. If as soon as you know what's inside that heart, they know that you're going to run out and tell everybody about it, they'll never let you inside. That's just the reality. Or if they know that it's going to be condemnation and criticism, you won't be let inside. And be that person that is there, that can pursue and be a blessing to, because I have needed it, and I'm sure I will need it again. I will need that brother to say, hey, what's going on? And I find that in relationships, in church life, I have been at a place where sometimes I don't want people to be able to see who I really am all the time, because then as soon as something's a little wrong, they're like, you doing okay, brother? You know, just let me alone. But I'm thankful for that. I want that. I want to stay right there. I'm thankful for those brothers. If I'm here, our tendency is often, I think, we learn to live here. We feel safe here. And maybe we just kind of crack the wall a little bit. But then as soon as something happens, we quick shut it all up again. And my encouragement is, just like it was when we first came to the Lord, the walls just need to come down. Just take the, if these are the walls of my heart, get the jackhammers out. It's okay. Just knock them down. Open your heart. It's okay. God will protect it. He can protect that heart way better than I can. And it's a blessing just to walk in the light, and we can walk closely with others, and that can be a blessing in our lives. So that's all I had this morning. It was just an encouragement for me and for all of us that I know you're a smaller congregation here, and it's a blessing to be here. and you have an opportunity to walk together and pray for us that we can do that at home. And if we're in this place, and I think we all are, I found myself there. It can happen without us even realizing it. But when we become aware of it, we can, it's time to get on our knees and seek for grace to bring those things down, and peace and connections can be restored that were once broken. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, and look forward to the rest of the day.